as a church, we've been talking about what would it look like? What does it look like to be open to Holy Spirit? What does that look like? What is that all about? And we've just been looking at the scriptures, looking at the Bible, to find out what other people's experiences have been of that and what the Word says about that. Today, what I want to do, just at the end of the preachy bit that I've got to say, is I'm going to get some people up from the congregation. They already know, so don't sit there thinking, oh no, she's going to pick on me. Unless she's already said, oh no, she picked on me. But they're going to come up and they're going to share their experience, okay? But we'll talk about that in a minute. So, poor things though, because it does mean they have to wait until the end of the service. So if you see people shaking like this, it's because they have to get up in a minute. So anyway, before we do, should we pray for the Word, yeah? So Lord, we love your Word and we love you, Lord. And what we're trying to do in everything that we're talking about and discussing and sharing with each other is working out, Lord, how we can be open to you more, how we can love you more, how we can interact with you more. And so, God, we pray that you would show us, lead us by your Word. Show us, Lord, with mentors and people around us who can lead us by example. Father, that we might be a church that can show the world that same relationship, that same oneness, Lord God, that you have in the Trinity, that we too can have that with you and with each other. I ask for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool. So like I said, last time that I spoke, I said that our God is a God who communicates. So he's communicating with us all the time. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And that was it. My sheep hear my voice. And although that sounds so simplistic and maybe even a little crazy, it is true. You can trust Jesus. If he says you can hear his voice, you can hear his voice. So what does the voice of God sound like? Well, the Bible gives all sorts of examples. There's God's audible voice, there's dreams and visions, and sometimes he sends angels who are his messengers and bring his message to us. But we conducted a very scientific experiment in here, didn't we? You know, by raising our hands. And we showed that actually, for most of us, that's not our experience. That's not how we know and have heard the voice of God. That's an exception, really. They're exceptional experiences. Most of us hear God in a much more subjective and personal way. Maybe we hear God's voice through a witness within us, okay? A sort of feeling that, yeah, this is right, or a feeling of, no, something's not right about this, okay? And with those feelings, we use that to sort of work out what we think God is saying. We read our Bibles, and we hear God's voice through the verses or the stories that we were reading. We said, didn't we, I think most of us raised our hands about how we can just read the Bible and it seems to say exactly the thing we need at exactly the right moment, okay? Well, that's the voice of God to us, you know, speaking to us through his Word. So the moral of the story is, read your Bibles. Thank you. Cool. We get mental impressions. We can get those in words where we actually see words, or we might get it in pictures or in both. Daniel sees in words, so he might see a word that says faithful. And he might think, okay, I believe that God is calling us to be faithful. I see in pictures, okay? So I might see a picture of a frog and say, well, you're going to croak it. No, I wouldn't say that because it's not encouraging. And the Bible's got very, very strict rules okay, on only giving words that are encouraging, okay, so which is very wise advice. But you can hear what I'm saying, that sort of mental impression that you can get. So, we can hear God's voice too through flashbacks or from memories. Do you remember the word that Bron brought to us? I think it must have been last year now. And she based the word that she was hearing from God on her experiences of the floods in Queensland. And she related that to what she felt God was saying to us as a church, okay? So we can use past experiences and memories that we think, yeah, Lord, it's just like that time, isn't it? To hear his voice. Now, all these ways of hearing the voice of God have the same thing in common. They're personal. They come from an inner witness. Now, hearing the voice of God in this way makes it really difficult, actually, because how do you know if it's God's voice or if it's your voice? How do you know if it's what he's saying or whether it's something you've just reasoned or imagined? And how do you get from like a mental picture, whether it be a word, a picture, whatever, a mental impression or a feeling, how do you get from that to, well, I think God is saying? It's quite a big gap, you know. So all of this stuff just makes it a bit more difficult. Or maybe it's just me who finds it difficult. I'm having a look. No, you're all like, yeah, no worries. Do this all the time. No, I find it difficult, okay, to try and work those things out. Well, like next week, okay, so yeah, you have to come again. Next week, I'm going to give you a tool that someone gave to me that's been so helpful with all of that, okay? But we will do it, so we will do it. I know I keep saying I'm going to do this thing. We will do it next week, and it's been really helpful to answer some of those questions. But I want to cover a couple of things before that, before we look at those tools. So because of the hearing the voice of God is an internal thing, this actually makes it quite difficult for us. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And that sort of simplistic, almost like black and white faith that Jesus models seems to me sometimes to be at odds with my life and the way I'm wrestling to try and work out how to do all of this. Which is why, when we're hearing the voice of God, because it's difficult, because we wrestle, because it's not always that simple for us to work this out, we need two key ingredients with hearing the voice of God. The first one is we need each other. And the second one is humility. When we hear the voice of God, we bring what we believe we are hearing to the wider church and we say, I believe God is saying this. What do you think? And together we discern and work out what an infinite God is trying to communicate to people who've got these tiny little finite brains. And together we can work it out. Yes, for sure. A week I've had, it's definitely been a tiny brain. But anyway, do you know what? Even putting all of our brains together, we still couldn't completely get the brain of God, you know? He is, we're not. But together, we're a little bit more. Can you see that? Corinthians says, 1 Corinthians 2:16, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can do that? Who could know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Notice it says, we understand. It's together and not as individuals that we discern the voice of God. I think, personally, that the church has, on the whole, got a wrong idea of prophecy. there is this understanding that if someone says a prophetic word, says, thus says the Lord, or I am, God is saying, or however we phrase it now, whatever the latest catchphrase is, that when the person brings that word, and then that thing does not happen, then the person is discredited. And that we should never listen to any prophecy that they bring again, because they were wrong. But that's not the case. Ultimately, the responsibility for that word never rested with an individual. It was up to us together to work out what God was saying. Us together who works out whether or not the person who's bringing something says, I believe God is saying this. We come together and say, yep, no, maybe a little bit of you, a little bit of God. That's what it's about. And it's never down to the person who brings the word is to be totally responsible for that. But that still leaves us with a question, though. What do we do when people get it wrong? Well, that's why you need the key ingredient of humility. Humility to deliver the word and humility to receive it. If you deliver a word and you say, I believe God is saying blah, blah, whatever it is, and you deliver that word with an attitude that expects others' opinions, then you're allowing for feedback and for correction and for affirmation. If it's not right, that's okay. You're just bringing your opinion, okay? You were asking and you were expecting for others to come back and confirm or just say, not sure about this, okay, when you bring the word. That's delivering, bringing a word with humility. And that's what we're called to do, okay? We don't have to be quite so definite. It's okay. If you've got it in your heart, when you stand up and say, I think God is saying, I believe God is saying this, and you're not right, it's actually okay, because we're working it out together, all right? It's okay, because it's together that we discern what God is saying. And if you do that and you're wrong, well, it's okay because you were delivering the word with humility anyway. You were asking for feedback. So it doesn't matter because you were asking, am I right, am I wrong? See, control others and control church decisions through saying, God says, so you must. Yeah, right. That is not God. That's bad theology. That's control. What we do here at Christie's Beach Baptist Church is we say, okay, you say, we take it seriously, even if we don't like what you're saying, and we pray it through, and we work out what, if anything, God is saying with that word, okay? What is God saying through the thing you're bringing to us? And what's just your personal preference influencing the things that you're saying? Okay. And then once we've worked that out, then because we're in relationship with each other, okay, and because we love each other, we'll chat through anything that's wrong with a word with that individual. Did you just hear what I said? We chat it through because we're in relationship, okay? So I'm not going to announce off the platform, well, they flipped, well, got that wrong, didn't they? That's not relationship and that's not helpful, okay? We'll just go and chat it through with the person and say, look, where do you think, what's this about? Because we're in relationship with each other. Do you know, it is highly, highly unlikely that anyone will say anything that heretical off of the platform or out from congregation or pray anything. It's highly, highly unlikely that's going to happen. But if they do, that's what we have elders for. You know, send them. It is, isn't it? Okay, so we'll trust them and let them walk it through. Notice how I just separated myself from the elders. And here am I, send Rob. We'll send them to do it if we need to stand up and say, hey, just so you know, Jesus Christ did die on a cross. Okay, if we have to stand up and say that, we will. But really, seriously, that's really not the sort of stuff that normally happens, is it? No, we haven't had Ben preach, so there's always hope. So anyway, are you listening to me, love? Oh, no. Wakey, wakey, rise and shine. Cool. Where did I get to? Okay, we're going to send the elders. If we've got anything that's majorly heretical, we'll send them. We'll sort it out in relationship. Because one of our key values is each other. Okay? We just do it together. We'll work it out. Hopefully. One more comment on delivering and receiving words in humility. Saying, do you know, I'm not really sure if this is God, and maybe you could just judge it, and it could be all right, but I might be wrong, and all of that. That's not humility, okay? It's just dithering. It really, really isn't a sign for being humble, okay? A person can be humble whether they are authoritative in their style or whether they are a dithering apology, because humility is about teachability and not style. Okay? So it's not style that shows whether or not a person is humble. It's whether or not they're teachable and approachable. That's the thing that marks true humility in the body of Christ. Although, having said that, humility is necessary because there are issues surrounding delivery styles. There are. Okay? See, when God speaks in his supernatural way, he gets to choose what his voice can sound like. So when God spoke audibly to Jesus, okay, at Jesus' baptism, some of those who were there, they heard the voice of God, and others just heard the sound of thunder. But that was God's choice, though, how he delivered that, and it was his choice for his voice to sound like that and to come across in that way. When God speaks through you and me, he doesn't have a choice on what that voice is going to sound like. If I have a word for God, from God, and I'm the delivery person, God is going to sound like me and act like me and communicate with my personality and my style and my way of reasoning. Does that make sense to you? Can you see that God doesn't possess you when he wants to communicate? Okay? He doesn't take you over. He allows you to communicate the message that you believe, for you to deliver what you believe that God is saying in your own way. Okay, so here's a question. What if you don't like me? What if I am the one personality type that just grates on you? What if you don't like my delivery style? Now, I suppose I am the pastor, okay? So you don't have a choice. You have to like me. But what if it is the person sitting next to you? And don't go looking at your husbands, wives, and partners, okay? So what if it's them and you don't like their delivery style? Then what? Make them change so they become something that's more acceptable to you? Maybe we could produce a bunch of clones see BBC clones that all do it in the same way. Don't look at me like, oh, you're right. I've been in churches and it is like that. Okay? You are only allowed on the platform if you spoke a certain way and dressed a certain way and said it and prayed and or whatever you sing or preached in a certain way, then you were allowed to be on that platform. Okay? So long as you were the same as everyone else, that was okay. I hate it. Making people change so that they are acceptable to you is not the way of love. It is the way of control. And we will not do it here. We will not. It has to be one of our values that we love each other and that we allow each other to be each other. And so that way, that does mean we're going to have little pets who you just think, oh, Lord, give me strength and grace. We're going to have little pets that I know, possibly may have already done, where you put your hands like this and you think, oh, God, that was less than helpful, wasn't it? What do we do? Change them to make them more acceptable so there's something I can cope with? No. We accept people for who they are because we go the way of love and not the way of control. But here's the thing. If we have the key ingredients for hearing the voice of God, of humility and a high value on each other, then do you know what? None of the issues, whether it be mistakes that people make and wrong words or delivering styles or even embarrassing flesh moments that people can have, okay? None of it becomes an issue. Why? Because we love each other, warts and all. And so we walk it through with each other because we value each other. We value our relationships. And we just walk it through. Christie's Beach Baptist Church is a bunch of all sorts. Had you noticed? All right. It's actually our strengths. Okay? The fact that we are a bunch of all sorts is a really good thing. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have a few issues. Okay? That we're a bunch of all sorts. However, I would rather be in a church that makes room and values all sorts, and therefore is having to work on some issues. I'd rather be in that sort of church than be in a church where I have to conform to please people. Now, because we are a box of all sorts, I've got, like I said, these different people, but maybe people with different personalities, they're not different people, people with different personalities, to come up and just to share how they hear God. So, because I think that often the way that we share our words in church about what we believe we've heard from God makes it more difficult sometimes because people can sound so sure and so definite, as if the person had no issues working out whether they'd heard God or not, you know, and whether they thought it was their idea or God's. So I thought that hearing from others might help to demystify hearing the voice of God and help us to see that Jesus is right, okay? We do and we can hear his voice. Right? So what I'm doing is going to get Chris up first. Sorry. Okay. Lord, I pray for everyone who's sharing. Father, I pray that your spirit, Lord God, would help them to communicate and we would hear what they're saying. And I pray for us who are receiving. Lord, I pray that everyone in the congregation will park their face in happy and encouraging for everyone. And Lord, we would hear what they're saying. And we ask this by your spirit, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.